It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
And we are bringing together the roundtable for you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood, just kind of the neighborhood joint that seems to turn an everyday visit into a special event. And joining us on the roundtable are Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Pleasure to have him here. And Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, there's so many different places we can start. We know, though, that a lot of the emphasis has been on the three interceptions by Brandon Weeden and the concern, Doug, that it's just a continuation of a guy who struggled in that area last year. How do you see it?
I don't see the three interceptions. You know, as you look at them, you know, the first one was, you know, he was just throwing it down to the end zone trying to hit it. If they got the ball in the 1 yard line. One went through Greg Little's hand. One's reflected off what Cameron's hand. So it wasn't like he was making the wrong reads. You know, it was throws that were in the right area. One was just a little bit behind. I think the fact that the protection wasn't strong all today. He had people in his face. You'd probably like to have seen him in the shotgun a little bit more. But overall, I think the fact that they didn't have the running game, didn't go to the running game, put a little bit more pressure on them, too.
If I could piggyback off that, I agree with Doug across the board. I think it was a confluence of a lot of things. No Josh Gordon, not, you know, your third stringer there at right guard. I think O'Neal Cousins did the best he could, and I was really glad to see him in the locker room today, by the way, just talking about his mistakes, talking about his eagerness to make up for them right away. So I agree with Doug. I think there were just a lot of things to go that went wrong, and I think to hang it completely on Brandon Weeden is kind of unfair.
I would agree with that. And as you talk about this line, Doug, what changes can be made? What can they do to improve the protection, to improve opening up the lanes for Trent Richardson when they have to take on a Baltimore Ravens defense that certainly has two great pass rushers in Terrell Suggs and Elvis Dumervil?
Well, and then you throw in Nada. That's not a day
right in the middle.
Either.
Right.
I mean, you get a beer truck the driver there. But, you know, I
it's
think,
always
you know,
beer, right?
Yeah, you know, the one thing you can do is you can do more chips. I think it was the second or third or fourth quarter I saw Trent chip on Wake yesterday. You know, he got him to stop his feet, and then he released over the center, and he caught a pass for 10 or 12 yards. So it helps to tackle and also gives you another avenue to dump off to. And, you know, you can put a tight end in, slow block, you know, for it. And I think, you know, establishing a running game is going to help your pass protection because all of a sudden they just can't pin their ears back and go after the quarterback.
And, Tom, you know, to that point, establishing a running game became more problematic as we saw this Dolphin team put eight guys in the box essentially do so because they had no respect, no fear, concern over what the Browns' passing game could do to them. Receivers not getting a lot of separation and Brandon being off target at times when he did have time. But generally, they looked at that quarterback and said, okay, you beat us.
Again, a little bit of everything, Vic. And to your point, you know, I asked Coach Chudzinski about that today. Why did he feel like they abandoned the running game early and why not more touches for Trent Richardson? And, you know, the course of the game kind of dictated how many he would get. But I really thought, particularly on that first drive, as well as he was running the ball, that the play that bothered me was that second and eight pass before the interception. I didn't mind them taking a shot down the field, and I thought maybe Benjamin could have fought a little bit harder for that ball as well. But I think overall, yeah, I think it's important to establish that running game and, you know, get Richardson the ball.
I agree. Were you guys surprised to see Trent Richardson not out there on so many third downs? I was kind of under the impression that they would keep him out there on third downs. Instead, Chris Obanaya was often the single back in those passing situations.
Well, no, I mean, Chris, you basically got two backs out there, and that's all you got. And I think, as Chad said, you're trying to, you know, keep him somewhat fresh. And Obanaya does a good job. I mean, you want a blue-collar guy. You know, he's gonna pick up the blitz for you. He catches well out of the backfield, and it gives Trent a chance to, you know, to get a rest. Yeah, you probably don't have to honor the run as much if he's in there, but you can't have Trent, you know, take every snap anymore.
It's the roundtable assembled here on a Therapy Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. And Tom, it's inevitable, the reaction, the broader reaction from fans, from media. You've heard it, and I'm sure in less than 24 hours, that it's the same old, that regardless of how heavily and how hard this organization has sold itself as being new and being different and being better, new and improved, people, 72,000 on a beautiful day, come out, support, go to that game, and see another opening loss. How do we get past that and to the message that they're still trying to portray, which is we're doing things better?
Yeah, and I tweeted out a little earlier one game, and I think I got 72,000 tweets about that, to your point too, Vic, that people feel like they've seen this movie before and they don't want to see it again. And I can understand that, and I think there was a lot of optimism. Boy, I tell you what, driving into the stadium yesterday was one of those days where you looked around and said, wow, people are geeked up. I mean, this is an opener.
It really did. The energy.
And there's no reason why that can't return, but I think there are a lot of issues to clean up, obviously, in going into a tough game with Baltimore this week. But, you know, I'm not necessarily giving up the ship at this point. I think there's still a lot of talent on this roster. I think, obviously, they've got a lot of holes to kind of fill and to address in this next week. But I'm going to take it from the standpoint and look at it the same way that Rob Chudzinski did today too, which is that this is a new time, this is a new team, that there will not be this hangover effect that maybe has plagued this team over the last few years.
Well, I think, you know, since we're playing Baltimore, I'll take what Ozzie used to always tell me. You always need about three games to really figure out what your team's all about. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, give us three games and then we'll see, have a better idea.
What about Chuds, and Rob's going to join us a little bit later in the show, but this is a challenge for a first-year head coach to get this team right away focused on, obviously, the next opponent, but get it from the dregs, right, Nathan, of what that first game is. This can prey on the mind of a team. And, again, looking at it as a former player, what does this head coach need to do, and what do you think his capabilities are of getting this team turned around mentally?
Well, I think, you know, he's got to be himself. I mean, you don't get too high when you win. You don't get too low when you lose. Just – you know, see the way he's kind of handled it with us today. You know, hey, we didn't play well. We're going to go ahead and we're going to try to improve. And I think, you know, Chud is, you know, he's got a track record. You know, Norv Turner has a track record. Ray Horton's got a track record. So with that in mind, you know, these guys know how to fix things. So, but the thing you got to also fix is the experience of some of the ball players. I mean, we brought in a lot of new ball players. I take the kickoff return, Robert Rennie. You don't return it from, you know, 10 yards deep in the end zone. You know, it's, but it's almost like the mentality of a guy trying to make the football team in the exhibition season.
Right.
You know, you want to make that play, but you got to be smart about it.
When I was looking at this game, in addition to obviously the Cameron Wake Mitchell Schwartz battle, one of the things that really gave me a little bit of concern.
You didn't
was
like that matchup either, did you?
I did not like that matchup at all.
He talked about it all week.
And I also, the other one was Brian Hartline and Brandon Gibson against Buster Skrine and Chris Owens. And that gave me a lot of concern. When you look at what Joe Haden did against Mike Wallace, one catch for 15 yards. And then you look at Owens, he was targeted 10 times, gave up 9 for 89. Skrine 10 times, 6 for 76. And of course, that touchdown on the double move to Hartline. You can't hide these guys forever. McFadden doesn't seem ready. What are the Browns going to do at that second cornerback spot?
I'll be honest. I thought yesterday, though, I thought that he was doing an okay job on Hartline. That last drive was tough, and I think that's also because the defense had been on the field for a long time, and they weren't getting, you know, exactly the same pressure. And I thought maybe Horton should have dialed it down a little bit. It seemed like they were still blitzing in those situations where maybe they should have sat a little softer and maybe, you know, taken away some of those intermediate passes that they were getting away with. So.
Well, the last time Brian Hartline played a Ray Horton defense,
he had 250.
Yeah, 250 on 12 catches, a career, I think, 10th highest day in NFL history. So, I mean, you got to give Hartline some credit, too.
Yeah,
you do.
No, certainly.
There's no doubt. It's the roundtable. It is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us. Yours truly, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, guys, as we look at the areas of concern, and I think we've kind of scratched the surface from that standpoint. Let's look at a couple of positives. Jordan Cameron coming through with a career day, 9 catches. Looks like he could be everything this team needs him to be. And I guess what I tried to do with that performance, you know, seeing it as a wasted thing and a loss, but I tried to now meld that with Josh Gordon's return and how much better and different this passing game can look with a guy like Cameron opening up things in the middle for these outside guys.
I think that's what you're going to have, though, is Josh Gordon creating that separation downfield so a guy like Jordan Cameron can get open underneath and a guy like Devon Bess can get open underneath. He's really not effective unless you open up that middle of the field. But I really thought that Cameron, it looked like a chemistry there with Whedon and Cameron. It looked like Whedon was very comfortable going there, especially after a couple of drops here and there.
But, you know, in the first quarter when, you know, Trent was going, we didn't go to Cameron or Bess at all. And, you know, it's one of those where when you got something going, that's when you get both of them going so they don't know what you're doing.
The defense, 4 sacks in the second quarter, all by the newcomers.
Yeah.
And I guess that
the
speaks to,
right?
It speaks to the investment being what paying dividends right away, what this team wants it to do. And overall, I mean, Doug, as a defensive performance, that's what you needed. It didn't take much offensively, I don't think. It wouldn't have to win this ball game. We didn't have to have exceptional or outstanding, but you needed a lot more efficiency than you got.
Yeah, and I mean, the defense played well enough really to win the football game. When you take in that we had 3 turnovers, and ironically, Miami last year only had 10 interceptions on the year, and they get 3 in 1
right.
game.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Christmas in September for Dmitri Patterson because, you know, he was just happened to be in the right
ball
area.
Guys.
Yeah, all the guys, you know, let me be 105% so I can play today. Yeah, that's just, you know, one of those things that, you know, when you look at it, you know, you see it, but the Gordon, the factor of what Gordon brings to the table, but we got to wait another week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we do have to wait another week. When you talk about the defense and the fact that this team was ahead at halftime despite being down
incredible,
2
wasn't it?
In the turnover battle, that doesn't happen very often in the NFL. What do you think they need to do to be able to close this thing out? Because at that point, you got to feel going in that locker room up 7-6, knowing you didn't play your best. You gave them the ball 3 times, only took it back once. Mentally, you should feel pretty good, like you're almost in the driver's seat.
I kept saying to everybody in the third quarter, somebody's got to make a play. And that's all. I kept coming back to that because I felt like at 7-6, if the Browns could have got something going offensively, if somebody had made a big catch, a big run, broke a tackle, something – I think they could have maybe not necessarily put the game away, and then you look at a play like where Benjamin had on that little inside slant. He catches the ball. He's got a step. He's gone. So I think it just comes down – I think it's as simple as that. And I think when you look – and I went back last night and I watched the game because, as you guys know, you watch it live. You make a couple notes. Then you go back and you try to watch it and break it down a little bit. And you look at that play, that screen pass that was set up so perfectly, if not for a little pressure late. Whedon doesn't exactly get the ball, you know, because he can't find Richardson in those sequoia trees of linemen. Yeah. He can't get it there crisply. Otherwise, that thing turns into a 50-yard play. So it's all those little things, and I know the coaches are harping on that today for sure.
Well, the bottom line is you can't be, what, 1 of 14 in third
That's
down.
Right.
I mean,
no. That's
in order stats. In order to do that, you know, the two ugly stats in the game for Miami was their yard per carry. Mm. And for the Browns, you know, it was the third down conversions. But does that mean that we've got to get little chunks, bigger chunks on first down than what we were getting yesterday? So we didn't have those.
So you don't have those unfavorable situations. Guys, thank you so much for being part of it, as always.
Yeah.
Doug Deacon, Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers, the Associated Press in Cleveland, joining us on the roundtable portion. It's brought to you by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. See what everyone's talking about at rosewoodgrill.com. Coming up on CBD, we're going to hear from the head coach of the Browns in studio. Rob Chudzinski will be here. Gerard Cherry is going to join us on the line. Much more ahead on this Therapy Monday edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.